and look in your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and I want to read like the first 8 verses. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I'm going to stop right there, but there's more stuff we're going to go on to, hopefully. I've entitled this, But Such As I Have, I Give Thee. This is just after Pentecost and the first bunch of preaching they had. The next day, before I go any further, I do want to say, I do believe in miracles. Wholeheartedly. I believe this account. Exactly as it's written, this happened. Okay? Now, I believe in miracles by Christ, through his prophets, and his apostles. And I believe in miracles today by God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. The salvation of a sinner is a miracle. It is life to the dead. It is light to the blind. It is hearing to the deaf. And it is understanding to the darkened mind. That takes a miracle and the power of God. This miracle here I do believe in. I don't believe we're doing this today. Otherwise, we would have better evidence by TV preachers. Okay? Other than just slapping somebody on the head and they fall down and you never see them again. Or if you follow them around, sometimes you might see them in the next meeting. That happens. Oh, yeah. I can't work miracles. And I don't believe any man can work miracles now. As a matter of fact, I don't believe any man worked miracles then. Any miracle done, they're going to tell it. They're going to tell on themselves. They're going to tell on themselves. Any miracle done is done by God. And sometimes you just happen to be in the way or be there. I believe God works miracles every day. To us, things are miraculous. To him, it's business as usual. It's not a miracle to God. It's what he does. It's not a miracle to the Son, it's what he does. It's not a miracle to the Spirit, it's what he does. He is life. He is light. He is faith. Now, the ministry, I believe, of the apostles is over. There are some people who like to call themselves apostles. And there are some people who like to say they can do things if you've got enough faith. That wasn't the case here. They hadn't even preached to this guy yet. But we have their words, we have the record of their words, and the record of their deeds. And I do believe this. And Christ promised the record to us for a purpose. And this miracle was for a purpose. And that purpose was to preach Christ to these people right here. It got them an audience. And it was the audience that God wanted them to have. Now, Peter and John, it says in verse 1, I really did like this. Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, that was the whole, as far as we know, that was the whole of Peter and John's plan. That's all we know. They weren't planning to meet this guy outside. They weren't planning to do anything. That's all that's written here. And I'm going to tell you something. They trusted Christ and His Spirit for the rest. This man they met was lame from his mother's womb, a beggar. It's the beggar that's lifted up to be seated with princes and kings. That's the Old Testament. It was a man lame from birth named Mephibosheth, or not lame from birth, but lame by accident named Mephibosheth that's in there. Peter looked at him and said, look upon us. Give us heed. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But what I want to see here today, and hopefully you see here today, what I want to say today is this is still the truth. This is the truth for every one of us, preachers and non-preachers, together, the flock of God, such as I have, give I to thee. Because there were five things that I got written down here that Peter and John showed. Five witnesses is the way I've got it written down. The first one is they were witnesses to the lack of power in themselves. Totally. The second one, they were witnesses to the rejection of God by men. Thirdly, they were witnesses to the truth of the Scriptures and the prophecies of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, they were witnesses preaching the gospel of the Messiah. And fifthly, they were witnesses to the glorifying of God. To glorifying God. They glorified the Father and the Son. Now, if you would, look at Acts, it's 3. Verse 12. This is what happens after they get in with that beggar. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? They witnessed to the fact they weren't the power. I'd like to hear that on television once in a while, Mason. I'd like to hear that. I heard a woman. I can't remember her name. Kenneth Copeland's wife. Gloria. Get up. She was on television. And I'm not just blaming her because I figure he feels the same exact way. You thought that devil had a hard time with Jesus? Well, he was just a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, here at Pentecost, there's a 500 of them, 5,000 of them filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, the devil was in trouble then. That's the way they think of Christ. They think they've got power. Now, they'll say Christ gave it to them or Jesus gave it to them. You can usually tell by the way they say, Jesus, give it to them. It's not what Peter and John say here. Peter and John says, we've got no power in and of ourselves. And he tells them where it came from, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. I don't have any power. He has all power. And these men in that temple, after this man had been healed, witnessed to that fact. They did not heal that man. The name of Christ did. Don't look at us. Don't look at us. Don't look to us. You look to the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. And you look at him because he has glorified his Son. Look to him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Christ said. And the deep meaning of that is, if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. These men witnessed to the fact that they had no power of themselves. The power, and there is power. This man was healed. But it's not mine. It's not theirs. It's the power of God. It is his mighty power. Now, there were also witnesses to the rejection of God by men, which was at the end of verse 13. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed, the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof, what? We are witnesses. We've seen him. We've seen him. You rejected him. You delivered him to be killed. You actually, he's in the temple speaking to Jews here. They actually clamored for his death when Pilate had a mind to let him go. I find no fault in this man. The Jews did. They thought they did. They wanted Jesus Christ dead. And they got their way. And Peter and John were witnesses of his death and his resurrection. I got one thing to say about this. Okay, maybe more than one. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I got verse 12 here written down. Yeah, that's it. We don't comment a lot about current affairs here. We try just to preach Christ and Him crucified. But my wife watches the news a lot, so I end up watching the news a lot sometimes. And then plus people talk. And there's all this stuff that happened, all these people being shot in a church. There's racial tensions. There's policemen shooting people. There's decisions made by the Supreme Court. And they ask my opinion of them. And I usually don't like them most of the time. But this is what I always come to when I see stuff like that and I hear stuff like that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's all around us. It's all around us. And see, this was written 1,900 years ago. Okay? And it doesn't say evil men and seducers could wax worse and worse. They might wax worse and worse. No, it said they shall. And we're seeing it every day. And we're seeing it every year. And it's been that way since the fall. It didn't just start in the New Testament when Paul wrote this. That's not where it started, okay? It started a long time before that. And as far as racial tensions go, I think we can all be pretty much traced back to Adam. And actually, if you want to go a little further, you can be traced back to Noah. There is no difference between men. And it says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're celebrating in places and mourning in others. Each one is certain they are right. I'm going to tell you something. Only one person's right. Only one thing's right. That's Christ. He's the only right one. He is the Holy One and the just. And we were just as guilty of killing him as these Jews. If we'd have been there, we'd have done the same thing. These men, Paul and John, were witnesses to the rejection of God by men. When you reject Jesus Christ, you're rejecting God. When you reject Christ, the Son, you are rejecting God, the Father. There are some people that want to separate them. Well, you can't separate them. What is it? Well, they are distinct, but they are never separate. The Son can do nothing except what the Father has showed him. These men saw that and preached that to these people in public, out loud. They also were witnesses to the truth of the Scriptures and the prophecies of Christ Jesus. Verse 17 of Acts 3. Because he goes right from this. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And now, brethren, in verse 17, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. It was prophesied that the Messiah was going to suffer. It was prophesied that the Messiah was going to die, the just for the unjust. That doesn't clear any man of their guilt in the matter. It was exactly what the Father purposed to happen. But it does say very clearly, ye by wicked hands crucified. How are you outside of the will of God? God has purpose. And God's purpose will be fulfilled. even by wicked hands. Even by wicked hands. People don't want to have it, but these men were witnesses to it. The Scriptures speak of Christ, His suffering, dying, and resurrection, the just for the unjust. In the very beginning, the seed of the woman was going to have his head bruised. Or was going to have his heel bruised. He was going to bruise his heel, but he was going to bruise the serpent's head. Excuse me, let me get it right. The Passover lamb, that blood was going to be shed. The sacrifices that were offered in the tabernacle, the sacrifice died. Blood was shed. And blood was offered. In Isaiah 53 it says he was despised and rejected of men. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. For our transgressions, for by his stripes many are healed. This is what the Old Testament said of the Messiah. The Scriptures speak of Christ. Moses said there was a prophet coming. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. If you can hear, you're going to hear him. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Hear him in all things, not just some things, all things, because the prophet that was coming after Moses was different. It was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth was the one promised from the beginning. These men were witnesses of that to these Jews. And if you don't hear him, you will be destroyed. That's the long and the short of it. He came to bring a division. And he did bring a division. That statement, who maketh thee to differ? There is a difference. And they were witnesses preaching the gospel of the Messiah. This is in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. This is the next day after that. Back in the temple again. Back in front of Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. This is who Peter and John are talking to now. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Still talking about that beggar. Be it known. We're saying it flat out. There's no doubt. There's no hesitation. There's no decision. The power is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is in Christ Jesus. You crucified him. God raised him from the dead. You killed him. But it was not fit that death should hold him. And by this man, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Messiah of Nazareth, this man stands before you
hope. Because by Christ alone is the only way anyone is ever made whole. Such as I have, give I thee. This is the message. There is salvation in no other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God raised him from the dead. He is seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, expecting that his enemies be made his footstool, and he is ruling, he is reigning, he is in charge of everything in this world. And he is calling out his sheep by name, and he is giving life and faith and making people whole. There is salvation in no other. Now they were witnesses also to the glorifying of God. And they glorified God, the Father and the Son, publicly and privately. Right at the start, where they were preaching in the temple at the hour of prayer, in Acts 4, 6 through 9, when they were in front of Annas and Caiaphas, verse 8 says, when he started to talk, says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we are to say publicly what we believe privately, personally. The reason I said that is because I want to say this one thing. There is no secret knowledge. There is no secret gossip. There are those that are trying to say there is one. I know. I've heard them talk about it. There have been programs on the History Channel and PBS about the Gospel of Judas, okay? The Gospel of Judas is heresy. It's a lie. It doesn't agree with the Old Testament, much less the New. There is no secret knowledge. We don't have to say everything we believe. But I'm not holding anything back about Jesus Christ that I can tell you right now. This is it. He's the message. Christ is the message. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man was made whole. And by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every man made whole is made whole by him. Only by him. And then privately, Acts chapter 4, verses 23. Start here. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and why... And the people imagine vain things. The kings of earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. said the same thing when they're together in their need. When the family's together. As they said to those fellows that were in the temple. And they glorified God there. Christ said one time, I thank thee, Father, for thou hast hid these things. And they're hidden from the wise and the prudent. But thou hast revealed them to babes. God hides and God reveals. God gives life and God saves. It's all of God. Every single bit. Through the Son, through the Spirit, by the Father. This is the work of God. Excuse me. These men, against the Lord, against His Christ, against His holy child Jesus, they did whatsoever God's hand and God's counsel determined before to be done. People hate that. You're making God the author of sin. No, I'm not. I'm reading the scriptures. But if you think God is surprised by the sin of men, you don't know nothing. Now, the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're surrounded by it. I just don't want to be one. And by His grace, I am not one. Oh, yeah, I sin. Oh, yeah, I've got evil thoughts. Oh, yeah. But I don't want to be an evil man and seducer waxing worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. All I can do is read this book and try and preach what thus saith the Lord. And such as I have, give I thee. That's it. And this goes for you too. The witness you have, share. When you can. When there's an interest. When there's a place. I know what Peter said. When silver and gold have I none. It's not about money. It's about the truth of Jesus Christ. There is a difference between talking about the Word and the public declaration preaching. But we are to do both. Acts chapter 8, verse 3 says, as for Saul, and that is Saul of Tarsus, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And therefore, because of this, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The next verse says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now the word preaching in the middle verse is different than what the word preached when Philip did it. One is the word actually, it is meaning to announce, to speak, in particular, good news. That's what it says when the people went preaching the word. They were speaking about Christ. They were speaking the word. But now this word where Philip went down to the city of Samaria, that's proclaimed, declared, the town crier, and ambassador. There is a difference between the two. But both are ordained. Both are to be done. The public preaching and the personal communication. Your conversation. such as I have, give I thee. This is what I am to do, and this is what you are to do. We are to give of what we have and to be thankful to God. It is told, you know, don't cast pearls before swine. But now that actually leads to the supposition that you got pearls to cast. Now that pearl's not Christ, but it is your word. Logos. Rhema. Your speaking. Your conversation. Don't cast them before swine, but you can cast them. You can speak of them. And you are to. Just as I am. And be thankful to God for that privilege, that blessing, that knowledge. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this place, this time. Thankful for your Son, our Lord, who gave Himself for us, a ransom for many. And for that many, He did redeem them as their perfect substitute, their perfect sacrifice for sin forever. Thank you, Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.